because we didn't really take calls. Oh, we did. We did have Chuck. Thank you, Chuck. And I'm Esti Dinor. Bye-bye. Vision fly by helicopters in the night.
Attempt triangulation of our station in the fight. You're listening to WORT Madison. High crime treason, we broadcast in sedition. Like the Wall Street Morning Afternoon Edition. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got a year. Nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So nice. So nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Yellow.
Yellow. Wow.
What number are you dialing?
I'm sad we don't have those anymore. I would rather have automated people than automated automation. Because then at least you know it's a pose, right?
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah. I mean, I've worked some of those crappy jobs in the past where you had to follow a script and stuff.
Sure.
And so you just get robotic.
Yeah. But you can think about anything you want.
Right.
Unfortunately, the actual automation doesn't have that option. I feel bad for it. It just has to do the job. And that's no plan B there.
Well, I saw a comment. I forget who said this, but their comment on AI.
Yeah.
And that they wished that artificial intelligence would do the drudgery for them so they would have time to do the creative stuff rather than the other way around, which is how it's turning out.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Anything that costs a lot of money because it's unique and special and humans can do it, we'll replace that with, and I want to emphasize how hucksterish intelligence is here. I mean, that we're calling it that is the triumph of the PR people and those various companies. So we end up like being, again, like George Jetson. We're just the guy that pushes the button.
Right, yeah.
Soon we won't need that.
Write me a script for a movie. There it is.
There it is, yeah. Meanwhile,
and it looks like, 10,000 other movies around.
Sure.
Because that's all it knows.
The problem we have with that, Mel, is that we already started doing that a long time ago. That's just Hollywood, right?
Right,
Because we have such a low standard, we see the computer generated one. He says, "Hey, that's as good as these guys
as
do." Because
some hack knockoff.
They're already doing that. Right?
I saw Jaws 3. I mean,
I never forget the young person who once said to me, "I was looking on YouTube and I found this amazing band. Have you ever heard of them? They're called the Beatles." And I'm like, "Yeah, we really are recycling everything." Hey, I had a dream this week. I had a dream. I mentioned last week. I had my first dream about Donald J. Trump, and I had one this week. But it wasn't about Trump, and
that's good.
This is a frightening dream. It was about the Trumpishness, where apparently in my dream, this is a very detailed dream, a case went from Pennsylvania to the Supreme Court that was going to decide the election, back in 2000 with Florida. And of course, the court, big surprise, votes in favor of the Republican candidate, basically. And mass chaos breaks out, and there are assassination attempts on various political figures and certain oligarchic plutocrats that I will not name on the air, and so on in the area between November 5th and January 20th.
Sure.
And so it was a terrifying vision. Mm-hmm. I woke up and thought, wow.
Okay, Cassandra.
Yeah, I know. It's not too much of a stretch, is it?
No.
And I saw an article today where someone was, Republicans are taunting right now those of us who worry about this and saying things like, well, if you're so worried, why don't you move to another country? First of all, hard to do. Secondly, we like this country.
Yeah.
And third, it's not yours. We're not just going to leave you to do whatever you want to everybody else. But more than that, it's like, we don't know. It's a flip. Making plans now seems strangely, I mean, that's like you're expecting it to happen.
Yeah.
When really it could be a flip of a coin in terms of what will happen.
Sure, sure.
One thing,
but also highlights is how vulnerable you feel when you really start thinking about it. It's like, oh, what if they, kill Obamacare? What if they kill Medicare? Or they don't really kill things. They have this plan where they kind of make it crappier and crappier.
Yeah, they privatize it. That would be the first.
Well, they'll privatize it, and then they'll give you lots of choice, but then they also make it. I mean, and we saw this in Wisconsin. It started with the W-2 program, the so-called welfare reform. They make it so crappy that nobody wants it, and then they make it so laborious to apply and to qualify that people figure it's not worth it after a while.
And meanwhile, there'd be lots of beaks, because there's always a lot of beaks that'll be inserting themselves.
Well, that's
sweet government money.
That's the privatization part.
That's why they want privatized education, schools, privatized, jails,
prisons,
the whole thing. Yeah.
But then you get the efficiency of the marketplace.
All you have to do is look at Elon Musk and think, the efficiency of the marketplace? That guy gets billions of dollars to do what exactly? Anyway.
Well, he's going to be in the next Trump administration. He's going to be the czar of efficiency.
Yeah.
And he said he could cut $2 trillion from the budget,
sure,
without blinking an eye. So
I believe that last part.
Well, that'd be pretty easy because he doesn't blink.
Yeah.
Yeah. His species doesn't blink.
Tasty humans.
They have to consciously blink every once in a while to try to blend in.
Keep up the ruse. Yeah, right.
Exactly. But it does make you, it makes you feel really vulnerable. Yeah. It's like, what if they start. Well, I mean, the floating island of garbage line about Puerto Rico. Those are Americans. Those are American citizens.
Sure.
And they all got, they have their usual pushback and stuff like that. It's like, oh, you can't take a joke. You don't have the humor. But if somebody.
Joking, not joking. That's their.
Yeah.
Their
it's a Schrodinger's. Yeah, Schrodinger's joke. Yeah.
It all depends on how you look at it.
I'm going to say it. And if I get a positive response, I'm a good boy. And if it's a negative response, well, I was just joking.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
It's gaslighting, but think about it. I mean, if a comedian, say from another country, and I know Puerto Rico's part of the United States, but suppose somebody from another country said, there's a 3,000 mile, they've discovered a 3,000 mile dog turd in North America.
Wow.
It's called the United States of America. I mean, how would people react to that?
Yeah.
They would not say, oh, what a clever joke.
I might.
Well,
the way I'm feeling right now, sorry.
Okay.
I'd say half of it, maybe.
What half of that would be?
On the one hand, there's the nice, yummy ice cream sundae. And the other hand, there's the dog turds. The turd Reich, as I heard Kimmel call it.
But people wouldn't say, oh, that's funny.
No,
they wouldn't blow it off. They would be so upset, and they'd be protesting everything.
There are different
firing their guns in the air.
Different theories about humor, and of course, one is the joy that we get at putting other people down.
Well, and that
seems to be, that's their standard.
It's the old punching down thing. Yeah, I mean, humor works best when you punch up.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah.
And in the opinion of a lot of people smarter than
a lot of up punchers. All the up punchers agree.
But punching down is just bullying. I mean,
Well, and that's, and again, that was the theory that I think Plato came up with that first. It's like people get off on.
I've heard about that Plato.
Yeah,
guy.
People get off on having power. So, this is just one more manifestation of it.
Yeah.
So. Got to say, I saw something this week that I thought might interest the listeners. It was how to help someone through a panic attack.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. A panic attack is a sudden wave of overwhelming fear and anxiety that accompanies presidential elections.
No.
For some, it can produce the same sensations as a heart attack, including chest pain and tightness and a racing heartbeat. Both panic attacks and heart attacks can also cause difficulty breathing, the feeling that you might faint, nausea, boy, I felt that this week, sweating, numbness in the arms, and a sense that something is terribly, terribly wrong.
It's like that meme you see everywhere of the guy who has two buttons to push and he's sweating.
Should you go to the emergency room? Well, it can be hard to distinguish between a panic attack, which doesn't typically involve going to an emergency room, and a heart attack. But panic attacks usually resolve themselves within about 4 years. So
before the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Heart attack symptoms can last longer or might go away. So how can you help if you want to help someone or help yourself during a panic attack? One of the most important steps is to stay with the person to keep them calm. And that's what we're here for. We're here to keep you calm. The panic attacks will typically rise in intensity quickly and stay on peak for several minutes before they fall off. So offer to do a breathing exercise alongside the person who's suffering. Aim to breathe slowly from the belly, not the chest, and to help open up the lungs. And another thing you can do right now, and I find this is helpful, physical exercise.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
At least you get the false belief that you're doing something.
Sure, sure. Come paint my house or something.
Yeah,
right.
yeah, come paint Mel's house. That's exactly it. That's what the experts say.
You know,
experts agree.
If you're having a panic attack,
yeah,
come in, 10
experts.
Come and you know, clean my toilet.
Exactly. So. When you got the backyard, you got to clean up, don't you? That's
yeah,
what I've
yeah.
heard.
Yeah. I haven't.
Neighborhood Watch told me.
Yeah. Well, I did win the Haunted House Award in the neighborhood again this year without even decorating. So.
Excellent.
But well, since my knee surgery, I wasn't able to do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
things have kind of gone to seed a little bit around the Mel Manor.
Mel Manor, yeah.
So, Tucker Carlson.
Oh, no.
Former CNN
Tucker Carlson.
And Fox News political chat host.
He is a very odd man.
Well, this will dispel any of those rumors. He said that he was physically mauled by a demon a year and a half ago in an assault that he says left him bleeding and with scars from claw marks. At least that's what he told his wife. It's like
a demon?
A demon.
A demon.
A demon. He said...
not a person possessed.
No. A demon, so...
Full-on demon.
Yeah. He said he was talking to some minister on one of his, little Russian channels now or whatever he's on. And he said...
I do wonder what he's on.
The minister talked about the presence of evil is kick-starting people to wonder about the good. And Carlson said, that's what happened to me. I had a direct experience with that.
Oh, wow.
And he
testify, brother.
He said, in my bed at night, I got attacked while I was asleep with my wife and four dogs and mauled, physically mauled.
It was a succubus.
He said he still bears the scars and his assailant was a demon.
Wow.
Or by something unseen that left claw marks on my sides. He was asleep in bed, and I was totally confused.
How many pets did he have in bed with him?
Four dogs. And he's got claw marks on his back.
Yeah,
so.
There's a surprise.
I woke up and couldn't breathe, and I thought I was going to suffocate. Yeah, this is him coming back from a party. And he had to explain to his wife why there were claw marks on his back.
So here's the thing. I've been thinking about this a lot this week, Mel. It's like... When you think about authority and what makes people respect authority, it's basically a coordination thing. Like, you have this idea that we all have common interests, right? And we work together to create something that'll help us all maximally achieve our common interests. But the problem right now is, I don't think in our culture people have common interests. I mean, when something like a third of the people believe in demon attacks, I'm kind of like, I don't know if we can really get beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, there's like a supernatural order that they are thinking is dictating who's a good person and a bad person. And if that supernatural order is not achieved in some way on this earth, then they're not doing their job. Even if that means compelling people who have no agreement with that belief system, even if they're, you're compelling them to do this against
their
will.
To follow them. Yeah.
And so it's like there is no common interest. And then, of course, all these crazy racists like we saw at Madison Square Garden, I mean, they don't think there's any common interest because they think the people that you might consider as having an interest aren't worthy of having their interests even considered.
Yeah.
They're weird and alien and have intentions and desires that are just not like people. They're just some...
They're vermin.
They're the island of trash. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. So where is the common interest? That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an underlying problem. That's not a Trump problem. That's Trump is the epiphenomenon.
No, I mean Trump could go away today, and the things that created him are still
right
there. So,
yeah.
Including the 6 billionaires that are, bankrolling him at this point.
So you may have noticed that we did have a rise in the in-person absentee balloting in Wisconsin.
Oh yeah,
vis-a-vis the 2020 presidential election, 45% increase in-person balloting in the first week of voting. And more than 511,000 Wisconsinites had voted as of Tuesday of this week. So there's probably more now. This is according to the Wisconsin Election Commission's absentee voting report. Also want to mention something that hasn't changed. I don't know if you heard about this, but there was a disclosure recently that there's a group here in Wisconsin. You may have heard of them. I don't know. It's called Badger Values. It's a new super PAC. And Badger Values, as of October 16, had $0. It was started, it turns out, by a Republican consultant. And somehow, on October 18th, it had $225,000, which it is spending primarily on the campaign of Jill Stein, the Green Party's presidential candidate. Right. Badger Values, by the way, is based in Texas. And when contacted by the New York Times, had no request, had no no comment. And there's little other public information about them.
Yeah, I've seen some of the things they're pushing. It's a lot of environmentalism. It's like, you know, Kamala Harris doesn't care about this, you know, so whatever.
This is what they call gray money. It's not like dark money that you see for some of these super PACs that don't actually disclose it. There's disclosure information available, but it's circuitous, and they tend to be supporting third-party candidates where they're trying to siphon the vote off of the third-party candidates.
Sure, sure. They did that in Minnesota an election or two ago. They ran a pro-marijuana legalization candidate just designed to siphon votes off.
Yeah. So. The problem with the system is I am actually in favor of multi-party races.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But we don't have one set up for that. I mean, all that's going to happen is, you know, that Trump will get elected. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's only two choices, unfortunately, the way it's all been rigged. Yeah. It's not like there's going to be anything
else. That's why they're fighting so – and maybe it's finally decided, but they were trying to keep Robert F. Kennedy Jr. off the ballot in Wisconsin, he apparently has to stay there. But that's future
vote for the brain parasite.
Future Health and Human Services Secretary.
Oh man,
there were people on the Trump campaign. I think he was one of them talking about getting, and I'm lumping him in with the Trump people. About actually getting rid of vaccines. Yeah. I mean, not just nothing. Half measures or anything, but just saying we need to see. He was saying he needs to see some information that vaccines are safe, and if he was in the director of Health and Human Services, he would move to outlaw vaccines.
I suspect that there's tons of evidence for that.
Well, yeah, there's evidence, and then there's evidence that would change his mind.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the first problem.
Yeah.
We do need to change your mind.
Change the brain worm in there. Swap that brain worm out. So, hey, witches from around the world gathered in Salem by the hundreds yesterday.
Great. I love it.
To honor Stormy Daniels at their annual.
That would be a great witch name.
That would be.
Witch Stormy.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
I just see her.
It's their annual magic circle ceremony recognizing loved ones who have died.
Yeah.
So she was chosen to be honored. Stormy was chosen to be honored by the Halloween ceremony, as the organizers believe she's been the victim of a modern day witch hunt. So the Magic Circle ceremony is intended to be a time to renew connections, mourn those you miss, and celebrate all that these cherished souls brought to your life.
I have a different take on Stormy. I don't think of her as being oppressed. I think of her as summoning up her power in some ways to you know, her witchly power, all the things that people have been afraid of in terms of women's sexuality and women's ability to control their environment and so on. I think she's done a pretty good job of making things awful for a certain individual.
I know there have been negative ramifications. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people threatening her. And
So Companion and I got to go to Salem.
Cool.
Yeah, last summer. And we'd never been. We were visiting some friends who live in New England, and they thought, well, let's go there. And it's fun. I mean, it's got a lot of beautiful old houses because that was a very prosperous seaport at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of beautiful mansions, mostly from like the early 19th century. So very pretty. But just it's fun. There's like everything's witchy there. You know? It's just like yay, and there's like little pop up witch shops everywhere you go. You know,
so the witches won in the long term.
The witches got their revenge. They certainly did. Yeah, yes, so. Yeah. And it's really kind of fun too because there's a kind of a whole witch Halloween gay thing that's going on too, because like, mm-hmm. it's kind of like, you know, the secret history of what goes on underneath the, you know, conventional puritanical society.
Sure.
And that, so there's that kind of alternate power, alternate sexuality, and so on that mm-hmm. I think people have really latched on to. And
yeah.
So that was kind of fun too. You'd go to these shops and you'd see all sorts of interesting things, which we're firmly in favor of. So.
Well, this Halloween season, as I often do, I watch some of the classic Universal monster movies.
Oh yeah,
and I especially like the ones that James Whale directed.
Oh yeah,
the first two Frankensteins,
sure.
And then he did The Invisible Man, yep. Which was that's a great movie. That's,
yeah.
And then one that a lot of people like. It didn't really do much for me. The Old Dark House.
I never saw that.
Yeah, it's just kind of your scary.
Okay.
House people get stranded in a storm, kind of thing, you know. But there's but the thing about him is, and I didn't realize this until I read about some of the stuff after watching the movies, is that I knew he was gay, but he was openly gay.
Sure.
In the 1930s.
Yeah.
In you know, the United States.
Yeah.
And so
you have to have nerves of steel to do that.
I guess. Oh my God. Or something of steel. And there were like kind of some gay subtexts in some of those,
sure.
You know, like the Bride of Frankenstein, which is one of my favorite movies.
All the major actors in that are gay, actually.
Are
there's one thing, yeah.
But I didn't realize he was open.
Dr. Frankenstein, Mr. Professor Pretorius is very obviously.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's the one people always point to. But yeah, so I mean, good for him. But then that, of course, affected his career once the hits stopped coming and the phone quit ringing,
right,
too.
Yeah. So. Out with the garbage.
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly.
Trump says Liz Cheney might not be such a war hawk if she had rifles pointing at her.
Oh, Lord.
So that's the other thing. They're trying to kind of,
is it talking about a firing squad or something?
No, it's if like she loves the war, you know, that's their thing now. The Democrats are the warlike party.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it's like, and this is all old stuff. I mean, Nixon had he was the peace candidate in 1968. I mean, he had the secret plan to end the Vietnam War.
Yeah,
so, and it's the same stuff here. But no, he's saying that if she was like in a war and people were shooting at her, she wouldn't be such a tough cookie.
but it's also tell us about your fantasy life.
But it's also, Donald, I mean, Trump. You know, it always comes back to these hallucinations of violence.
Yeah.
I mean, he's described and even people he likes. He had some story on a speech one day where he starts rambling about what if Marjorie Taylor Greene was driving a hydrogen powered car, and then it blew up. And they wouldn't.
Yay!
They wouldn't be able to. No.
What would happen? No. No,
but
he
said it would blow.
Marjorie's my favorite drag queen. Come on.
It's so funny how he said this. He said it would blow up that long, beautiful hair of hers.
What?
The
what?
Beautiful blonde
Who
hair.
Who thinks of things like this?
I know. And then he's saying, well, when they'd find the wreck, they wouldn't even know it was her. They'd say, is this Marjorie Taylor Greene? We don't know. We can't tell because the hydrogen is.
I assume this is one of those things he was rambling on about.
Oh, about alternative energy. Any alternative energy, you know. But it's always these violent, imagery.
Wow. Hey, more election updates. Two local election officials in Michigan have been removed from overseeing the vote. Did you hear about this?
No.
This happened on Tuesday, and it was Tom Shirkolk. He's the, it's probably Skierkolk originally. He's the, Floyd could tell us all about all those Dutch people in Michigan. The clerk of the Rock River Township in Michigan's Upper Peninsula and his deputy, David Lemaire, were removed after telling state officials that they intended to hand count ballots before sending their tally on for the county canvas. This basically, they are big, big Trump lovers. Mr. Skirkulk is tied to, I can't quite pronounce it, to a network of activists who have pushed various kinds of theories about corruption in the election and so on. And so their whole thing is that, they still believe that 2020 was, a stolen election, blah, blah, blah. So in Michigan, they're trying to basically weed out the people who are going to try to sabotage the election. And these folks are really obvious about it. So they said they gave them the old heave-ho. Mm-hmm. That was that.
Yeah. So, well, there's going to be a lot of election shenanigans, probably more than we saw 4 years ago, even.
Oh, yeah.
So Trump was, in one of his speeches, he's always the teaser. He's the carnival barker. It's like, sure. Oh, you got to see this. Oh, it's going to be great.
It's the mermaid, folks. Look at the mermaid. Come see the mermaid.
He said that he and Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, have a little secret. Mm-hmm. Cooked up that really going to surprise people. So.
It's not going to be a secret.
No, it's not a secret. Johnson also, a tape surfaced of him speaking to a friendly audience, I think donors or something, about how they were going to get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, sure, of course.
And just, very flat terms. It's like, no, we're going to get rid of that. And then, they use weasel words, but they're essentially want to turn it back to the market.
Anything that gives labor any power over their ability to offer their labor to somebody is bad.
Right.
And
right.
So it's portable. They don't have to depend on their job for their health insurance if you've got the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. How many times have you heard people over the years say, oh, I'd quit, but I need the
health care? So that's what they don't want mobility. They don't want worker choice. I mean, that's from the very outset, that was clear that they were going to be opposed to it for that reason.
Yeah. So. Plus, there's a lot of money in health care. If you can wring a lot of sweet nectar out of those sick people.
Well, there's that.
And a lot of other things, too. Yeah.
Hey, Michael Bloomberg was in the news this week, the former mayor of New York. He was under pressure from friends and fellow billionaires, and he decided to help the vice president. He gave $50 million to a nonprofit organization that's supporting Kamala Harris's run for president. And there was a bunch of arm twisting. So Bill Gates has given money to the vice president, and Ron Conway, he's a big investor, and Reid Hoffman, he's the co-founder of LinkedIn. They were just like, come on, when are you going to pony up some dough? And so he finally did. He decided to give a big bunch of money to a group called Future Forward USA Action, and it's the dark money vehicle for Future Forward, which is
how hypocritical of them
Ms. Harris
use dark money. But,
Mr. Bloomberg, by the way, is 82 years of age.
Is he really?
He's estimated to have about $105 billion.
Wow.
Not 106, but 105.
Yeah.
He's the second largest individual donor to the Democrats in the cycle after, say it with me,
George Soros.
Very good.
Ooh, scary kids.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, let's start the anti-Semitism, shall we? Okay. The $47 million that he'd already given was in a federally disclosed political contribution during this election season, but they said he needed to pony up some more, so he did. According to the former mayor, who calls himself a data nerd, he says he has a logic to the whole thing. He said that he believes he can find strategic gaps or unmet needs once candidates and other donors place their own bets. So basically, he wanted to see what was going on with what everybody else.
Sure.
This is bizarre because, of course, everybody else could be waiting around to see what he does, too. It's a weird way to make decisions.
I'm going to do what's right ensure the... Yeah. Continuation of democracy.
See if I'm part of the herd or
anything
not.
Like that.
Where is the herd? I can't see the herd.
Well, some of the Trump people, including Musk and Vance, have been talking about how they're going to have to crash the economy to achieve their goals.
I know.
They're laying it right out there. They're saying, some of these things we're talking about are going to have, there's going to be pain for people. We're hearing this from Musk.
No, it's very scary because they don't care about it. Yeah. I mean, they're just...
I mean, he's not going to feel any pain.
They destroy the economy, and it's a fire sale for them. Right. I mean, they just want more power. And this is the thing that just absolutely drives me nuts, is can the people who are on the lower end of the scale... I know there's a lot of grievance out there. I know there's a lot of unhappiness. I understand all of that. I know globalization is terrible. I know that there's, you know... On and on and on.
Eggs are expensive.
Yeah, eggs are expensive. But I'm just saying, look, you know, these people are not going to give you what you want.
Right.
I mean, and as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know, I don't agree with the president. I don't think those people are garbage, but they seem remarkably ill-informed about how things work or about who actually has their interests at heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Vance was on some talk show this week. There's a million of them, but the interviewer asked him if it gave him any pause that the former vice president, that Mike Pence, was not endorsing Trump and was actually and sort of slightly at least opposing him.
Yeah.
And Vance said, well, the problem is that they had a falling out over foreign policy issues.
Oh, that was it.
It wasn't the hang Mike Pence plank in
that
the platform.
Had nothing to do with that. No.
A literal plank.
They didn't. I don't think they even had a Republican Party.
They didn't have a platform. They didn't. No.
It was say do whatever the leader says, because you wouldn't want to put something in writing. And the next day we're at war with East Asia.
The BB in the tuna can brain there. It's like, what do I like today? I remember he used to hate electric vehicles and cryptocurrency, and then he sat down with a bunch of crypto bros and Musk started
all throwing
drove money
up in their
at
electric
him.
Vehicles.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. But I love that Vance can't even, he lies so easily.
Yeah.
He's
odious. And the thing about it is, I doubt that Trump is, I doubt that Trump would last if he got elected to the end of his term. Well, that
probably not.
That thing is going to be in charge. The other one.
Yeah.
He's even more frightening.
He's just a golem for the various billionaires. I mean, but,
I think he probably visits demons regularly, too. I don't think he comes away with just scratches, either.
He also told the story that when the day of the Trump assassination attempt. And
which one?
The one real
stand
one.
The
first one. But he was playing mini golf with his kids, and he grabbed the kids up and took them home and got his guns out and locked the door and stood by the door waiting. Because they're coming after us. They're all coming after us.
Who's they?
I don't know. But of course, he's got this like Rambo fantasy. I'm sure he went and hid in the basement or something, which I would do. I mean, I wouldn't sit there by the front door. I wouldn't even go home. I'd go find a hotel somewhere. And if I thought my life and my kids were in danger, let's go to the one place they know where to find
you. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. Hey, we got to take a break here. It's 1:32 already.
So. Really?
Yes.
Time flies when you're complaining about everything.
I know. And those kids were ringing my doorbell last night, and I had my porch light out. All right, we're going to play some announcements and then come back with...
Let's go some happy news.
Let's do some happy news.
Happy news.
Yeah, I've got...
I got a few things.
Okay, I'm going to do one tiny more...
Yeah, you're allowed.
Election
the
thing.
The Federal Office of Election Management allows you to get... It's hard, but like a rat hair.
I'll do that one.
The second positive
part. I'll do that one and then switch over.
Yeah, maybe some...
All right, we'll be back. Listen to these announcements and follow whatever they ask you to do. Miami, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Raleigh, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., or Richmond, Virginia, too.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Union Cab of Madison. Union Cab is seeking drivers to join their member-owned collective, formed in 1979. Those interested in a position with flexible scheduling, benefits, and a democratic employee-owned work environment can find more information at unioncab.com or by calling 608-242-2000.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Bernie's Rock Shop, located at 901 East Johnson, and our new shop, Bernie's on Park, at 636 South Park in Madison. We offer handmade silver jewelry as well as unique mineral, crystal, and fossil specimens from around the world. Store hours and more information available at berniesrockshop.com.
And we're back. So in North Carolina, it's legal for a married couple to go into the voting booth together.
Sure.
And vote together.
Yep.
So.
And anything else you want to do there?
No, that's not
oh,
true.
Oh, that's not legal?
Not
oh,
true. Okay. You can pull some levers.
Only if the cousins.
Pull some levers and punch some buttons if you want.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
but both people, both... parties have to agree to it.
Yeah.
So, but that puts pressure on, you know, there's kind of this pressure on not pressure, but this movement to try to get women to say, to tell women that you don't have to vote the same way your husband votes. And
I still remember when my grandfather died, my grandmother was saying, oh, now I can vote the way I want.
Yeah.
And I was like, you could have done that before. Well, I couldn't lie to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what's he asking you for? You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
In Martin County, where I, Kentucky, where I grew up, it was every time there was an election, the local West Virginia, the closest television station was in West Virginia, the local West Virginia station that loved to make fun of us would show pictures of people doing odd things. And my favorite one was they opened the Channel 3 broadcast, opened up with another typical voting day in Martin County. Just three guys trying to get in the voting booth at the same time. I know. It was like, oh my God. Well, I had a, so I had a, it was my sixth cousin. Ray was his name.
What's a sixth cousin?
Well, it's that's what I was told he was, my sixth cousin. His name was
that's
Ray.
That's a nothing.
And he was the sheriff of Martin County. And I remember saying to him one time, he had his campaign poster on the side of his car. And I remember saying to him, Ray, he said, I don't think you're allowed to have your campaign poster like right on your police car.
Yeah.
And his answer to me was, I'm the sheriff. I can do whatever I want. That's the way we ran it down there.
Yeah, that's kind of a...
This is the thing about all this stuff with Trump and stuff. To me, this is the story of my life. I feel like what's happened in the United States since I was a kid is basically creeping crackerization. Like all the stuff that we did in Martin County is now just like
normal.
What we all do. You know, it's just like it's been oozing out of the landscape for the last few years, and now everybody does it. So it's like, yikes.
It is disrupting, I guess. I don't know, maybe there's a better word for it. But when we were growing up, I was feeling like we were making progress on things.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, this got a little better. You know,
yeah,
we had the Civil Rights Act.
Well, things were so bad.
Well, yeah, you know. Oh, we've
got to do much.
We've got an Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a bad thing. You know,
we
had the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Right,
and
yeah.
Things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
those things don't happen anymore. It's
no.
like just a total... I mean, the closest we've had is the Obamacare.
People are too busy talking about demons.
Yeah.
All about the demons.
Yeah, so there were a bunch of stories this week too about the early voting with some of the people exhibiting kind of boorish behavior. There was a guy came in with his MAGA hat on, and they
sure.
said you can't have campaign
mm-hmm.
Related clothing when you're voting,
sure.
and he got all upset and wanted to fight everybody. And there was a woman who had a Trump shirt on, mm-hmm. and she went in and they said you can't have that when you're at the polls, and so she took her shirt off, and just voted wearing a bra.
All right.
And,
well,
and of course, screamed at everybody while she was doing that. And everybody said, put your shirt back on. But the reason I brought up the North Carolina thing is that it puts this pressure on women. You know, it's like, oh, I can, my husband's going to watch me vote, and I have to vote the way he wants me to.
The first time I voted, I still remember that, I went and they had, I went into the vote. It was when they had a booth voting with, again, this was in Martin County, Kentucky, and I went in. And I was trying to flick the little levers. They had little levers then. And I tried to flick the little lever, and it wouldn't go down. And I kept doing it, and it wouldn't go down. And so then I pulled the curtain, and there was an elderly gentleman who was the poll watcher, poll worker. And I said, hey, this thing doesn't work. And he's like, oh. And so I went over, and I was trying to push it down. He goes, oh, no, you don't do that. You do this one. It was basically they had a giant lever on the outside that would either be Republican or Democrat.
So they knew how you were voting.
And I was like, no, I want to do these. And he looked at me like, you know,
no one's ever done that before.
Yeah, so you know, so he gets out there and he chunks it over. You know, I got to grab this big lever and he doesn't pull it over. Sure. And I swear to God, there were cobwebs on it. You know what I mean? It was just like, and everybody in the place, like, oh, he's voting for those people.
Moths fly out of it.
Yeah, it was bizarre. But I just always like, oh, no, this is the wrong one. So you're supposed to vote down here.
Yeah, I'll vote.
Like, nobody's
for
ever done that before. Oh, that's funny. So,
there was a great picture of, speaking of spouses voting, that from 2016 when Trump and Melania were voting.
Yeah.
And they were at like the little stands.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's like leaning over, looking, and seeing how she's voting.
Not for that, a hole. Oh, Lord. So here's a story of how things could get better. This is in the UK. The Labour Party, as you'll recall, won the election there, the most recent election, after years of the Conservatives being in power. And the new Chancellor of the Exchequer, it's an old title that's their Treasury Minister. It's a woman for the first time ever. And she delivered the budget to Parliament on Wednesday. She gave an 80-minute speech. And in the speech, the Chancellor, her name is Rachel Reeves, said that there's going to be a £40 billion increase in taxes. That's about $52 billion. So more than half of which would come from higher taxes that employers pay on their workers' salaries. So it's going to be an employer-based tax structure. According to the Chancellor of the Exchequer, she said, the choices that I have made today are the right ones for our country, and that doesn't mean they are easy. So they're trying to reset their economy, and basically they're doing it by taxing those most able to pay. What a novel concept. Here in the United States, consumers are spending, inflation is cooling, and the U.S. economy, of course, looks as strong as ever. The gross domestic product, which was adjusted for inflation, expanded at a 2.8% annual rate in the third quarter. That's amazing, by the way. It came close to the 3% growth rate in the second quarter, and it was the latest indication that the pandemic recession is over, and we're actually doing much better than other countries. Now, again, you know our views about this, listener. You know, Mel and I are not happy with how unequal and crazy our economy is, but nonetheless, the popular perception that the Republicans are running on, that it's in cinders right now or something, is obviously false.
Yeah. Well, think how much better it could be if we had someone who knows business in that position.
That's the worst people actually to do it, because they have a perspective, and that's
it's a totally different thing. It's like baseball versus slow pitch softball. I mean, it's like the reason you run a business is to make money, is to run a profit, and that's not the reason you have a government. I mean, you don't say how much profit did the military make this year. Well, we didn't make any. We lost, $400 billion. I mean, get rid of that thing. It's in the red.
Open for business. I assume it was our motto here in the state for a little while.
I remember when we had that. Then Texas had to one up us.
Yeah,
and this is true. Their slogan was, Texas, we're wide open for business.
Oh, no. What an unfortunate image.
Yeah.
Absolutely supine business. Yeah.
take us. Please.
Take us now.
Oh, business. You get me so hot, business.
That's what 90% of all this stuff with the Musks and the Bezoses of the world is, that they want people to worship them. They're annoyed because they're not getting the respect they deserve, as the job creators. And of course, they're not job creators. I mean, as we've seen, they would get rid of humans in a blink of an eye if they could, right?
Well, it's going there. I mean, there's fast food places now without humans, and they're, you know, obviously the autonomous.
Well, some of their offerings vehicles. Offer some human. I would say it's totally without human.
Well, it costs extra.
Yeah, of course.
It's like the guac, you know. They're not just giving that away. So, a repeat shoplifter, this is out of England, has been banned from using wigs after trying to hide her identity while stealing from stores. Her name's Hannah Roberts. She's 33. She wore various types of wigs to avoid being recognized. She was already banned from entering stores that are part of the city safe scheme, but she ignored this rule. So when store workers or security officers confronted her, she would reportedly become rude and flee with stolen items. So she began wearing different wigs. But then, of course, she's got this giant spider web tattoo that covers her neck. I mean, it's huge, and it's very black.
Well, a lot of people have those.
Yeah. She should have just, like, wore a turtleneck or something. Yeah. But the judge in the courts issued a ruling that said she could no longer wear wigs. Oh. And she had to be Jerry Seinfeld's butler, too.
Got another story also from this is also from the United Kingdom. Tommy Robinson. I saw some of Tommy Robinson, by the way, when companion and I were at Scotland this summer. He's an odious pimple. He's best known as a far-right agitator and anti-immigrant proponent. He was sentenced on Monday of this week to 18 months in prison. He had been he'd been lying repeatedly about this teenage Syrian refugee. He'd been saying some awful things about him. Basically just made up stuff to prove a point. You know, it's like anecdotal evidence. But the anecdote wasn't even true. And of course, he's been posting a bunch of stuff about it on X, as you might imagine, probably. Elon is there lapping it up like a cat does a bowl of milk. But at any rate, he got sentenced by the British High Court because he defied a court order to stop, saying these things about this individual. And Justice Lord Jeremy Johnson said that no one was above the law. The breaches are not accidental or negligent.
Not even influencers?
Are merely reckless, he said, according to Reuters. Each breach of the injunction was a considered and planned and deliberate and a flagrant breach of the court's order. So,
wow.
This guy, Mr. Robinson's real name is, I love this, Stephen Yaxley Lennon. Yaxley, I can see why he changed it. So. Mr. Yaxley. Mm. The noise you make when you hear him talk. Feeling the urge to yaks.
I once did an interview with a radio show in somewhere in Washington. He was from Yakima.
Oh, okay. And
he was the Yakima Yakker.
Oh, okay. There you go. It's just a bad sound. I'm sorry.
I know, yeah.
I'm yakking that up.
Got some monkey news here.
Excellent.
And it's also involves scientists.
Oh, monkey scientists?
Yeah. So. It's a new study. It reveals it would take far longer than the lifespan of our universe for a typing monkey to randomly produce Shakespeare.
Okay.
So while the infinite monkey theorem is true, it's also somewhat misleading.
It's truly infinite.
A monkey randomly pressing keys on a typewriter for an infinite amount of time would eventually type out the complete works of Shakespeare by chance, according to the monkey theorem.
The monkey theorem.
That's what it says here. However, the new study reveals it would take an unbelievably huge amount of time.
Of course.
Far longer than the lifespan of our universe.
Transfinite.
For a typing monkey to randomly produce Shakespeare.
Orders of infinity.
Yeah. So they're thinking that there's probably like a string of letters they could maybe get out before the end of the universe. They're thinking maybe, I don't know, 30 letters or something, but if they're lucky, that mean anything. So, but they did find that the monkeys could produce lists for BuzzFeed pretty easily, though. So. That takes them like 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you've heard of the Svalbard Global Seed Vault, right? You know about
that? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
So it's for listeners that don't know, it's a special seed vault, hence the name, that exists in northern Norway, in Svalbard, which is a place in northern Norway. And basically the idea is it's a doomsday garden shed. It's a genetic capsule that keeps safe in case of some kind of catastrophe all these different seeds that could be used to basically reanimate the world's crops. The vault already has 1.3 million seed samples from over 7,000 species. But last week, it received 30,000 new ones.
Really?
Yep. And that's kind of cool because it's one of the first, largest one-time additions since the vault opened, which, by the way, it opened in 2008. And there's usually like three deposits a year. So this was a huge deal. And according to Asmund Asdal, who is the Norwegian Vault's coordinator, it is more important now than many new gene banks in developing parts of the world are depositing valuable and unique genetic material. So it's not the only place, by the way, that where seeds are stored, but it's the most extensive.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's a big deal.
So that is fun. Let's see. At present, let's see, how many seed banks are there? Oh, there's 23 seed banks in the world at present, according to Crop Trust. And who could you trust better than Crop Trust?
Right. I trust them with my crops.
People have been looking at distant planets now for some time. We've been finding lots of planets orbiting distant stars, but we've never been able to see so far a moon. But that is no longer true.
Really?
A recent discovery around a Saturn-sized planet, 635,000 light years from Earth, shows a moon. And like most moons, it's doing all sorts of odd moon-like things. It's got explosive show of volcanic matter and noxious gases, which is probably why they found it. So this was according to a story that was found in the Astrophysical Journal Letters. The abundance of moons in our own solar system applies that exomoons certainly exists, but no one's been able to see one before now.
Wow, very cool. So the Catholic Church, has unveiled for some reason a mascot for 2025, and it's
Buddy Christ.
It's like an anime girl. And
what?
They've got a, it's like a doll. They've got a doll here.
What the hell is that?
Like, I suppose it's.
So we're looking at it right now. There's a priest next to it. Keep him away from that doll.
Yeah, well, the doll will be handy in court because they can point where the priest touched them, I guess. But it's just, and it's named Luce, L-U-C-E, you know, so.
Whatever that means.
But light, it means light.
Oh, okay. L-U-X.
L-U-C-E.
Oh, I see.
It's her name, but okay. Yeah.
Oh, because it's feminine. Okay. Yeah.
But it just seems like an odd bit of branding.
Yeah.
Have an anime doll and an old priest fondling it.
Yeah, very strange. But by the way, I don't know if you heard, but after 10 years, the Vatican Commission, the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors, which was formed back in 2014 under the current Pope, released its first report this week. And people are kind of like, okay, that's great. That's the first step. But of course, people who are, you know,
after 10 years
agitated by this are kind of like, this is just covering their bases.
Well, sure.
You know? But they did at least put out a study, and they acknowledged, you know, what's gone on. They looked at some of the policies in different nations and so on, and tried to provide kind of a snapshot of this this journey of conversion, I guess you could say, really, to realizing that this is a bad thing and we should do something about it. Hey, got another story about the cosmos. Now, you may have, I know you like these kinds of things, so you may know this already, Mel, but, you know, one of the most interesting, astonishing, weird things in our solar system is the great spot of Jupiter. It's a giant elliptical storm that's been going on for years now. Well, probably about 150 years, if not longer.
Yeah, Bob Lindmeyer says it's going to go for another couple hundred.
400-mile-an-hour winds, which kind of like last night, if you remember. Jupiter has nothing on us. But when you look at it, and again, people have been observing it for quite a while now, it looks pretty much the same. But it turns out that that's not true. New, most recent images, and I looked this up online, and you can too, found that it's jiggling and changing shape.
Hmm.
It's sort of elongating and then contracting as it goes around around this. And that's not surprising. Apparently, it does transform. It has transformed over time. They have no idea, of course, why it does this. But it has something to do with there are two jet streams that kind of sandwich it in place, one going sort of one way and one the other way, and it's keeping the rotation going. The storm isn't rooted in place, though. It travels around, so that probably has something to do with it as well. But it's getting a little skinnier and windier looking.
Yeah,
apparently.
Jupiter should have a doctor look at that, I think.
Yeah. Doctor, I have this giant red spot. Yes.
It's changing.
A dysplastic nevus, that's what I remember.
What's that?
That means an oddly shaped mole.
Okay.
I went to a dermatologist once because I had a dysplastic nevus.
Yeah.
And she just chopped it off and looked at it and said, no, nothing problematic about that.
Yeah.
But it was in an embarrassing place.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of like, somebody else had to find it for me. I was kind of like, just to say that. Yeah. But I went to the doctor. I still remember her name. She had a wonderful name, and I'll say it on the air because it was so beautiful. She may still be practicing in Madison. Athena Demetrios.
Oh, thought, nice
what a
name.
Lovely name so, for a person. Yeah. So yeah.
There used to be a Dr. Bonebreak in town.
There was a Dr. Doctor.
And a Dr. Doctor. Yeah.
And both spouses were doctors, so it was Dr. and Dr. Doctor. Feel like I'm in a Marx Brothers movie.
More space news. Scientists lost contact with the Voyager 1 probe.
Uh-oh.
From October 19th to October...
You mean V'ger, right?
V'ger, exactly. That was the note I put on this when I sent it to myself. There was a technical malfunction that forced the spacecraft's main radio transmitter to shut down.
Yeah.
NASA officials said the engineers... established contact with Voyager 1's weaker backup transmitter, which hasn't been used since 1981. It's actually an 8-track.
Born to be wild.
there's something about the spacecraft's fault protection system, yeah, which responds to onboard issues.
Now has the mission of cleansing the solar system of imperfect life forms. Other than that, it's fine.
We're in big trouble then.
Yeah, we'll wait till after the election to see just whether it's going to turn around and come back. Let's see. What's another interesting story here? Oh, this was fascinating. People who were restricted to limited amounts of sugar in the first years of life are less likely to develop diabetes and high blood pressure later, according to a study that was done in the United Kingdom. The country was under strict rationing during World War II and its aftermath. And when the rationing ended in September of 1953, the average sugar intake by people in Britain doubled. And so this was a natural experiment. People decided they were going to try to find out. So an economist from the University of Southern California and some colleagues looked into this, and they went to something called the UK Biobank. It contains genetic and medical information, and I think some of Elon Musk's sperm, on 500,000 people. And they've taken steps to preserve privacy, but they do leave it open for investigators who have a good scientific purpose. So they analyzed the health of 60,183 people who were born between October 51 and March 56 and were aged 51 to 60 when surveyed. And they've discovered that those who'd been exposed to sugar rationing early in life had a 35% lower risk of diabetes and a 20% lower risk of high blood pressure in middle age. And for those who were straddled the rationing, there was a delay for those folks as well. They delayed by 4 years for 4 years by diabetes and 2 years for high blood pressure from people who were, you know, born after the rationing was done. So it actually has an effect on people.
Wow.
Sugar is not a good thing for you. You probably know that already, though, if you're listening to this show.
And now for a word from the Sugar Council. Sugar is good for you.
Yeah, right.
I remember when we were probably back in high school, there was a...
Sugar ran a campaign. No, it was cranberry juice.
Oh yeah,
and they said cranberry juice has more food energy than yes. orange juice or yeah, any yeah. other juice
food
and
energy.
Food energy. And then that it turned out what they were talking about is calories.
Yeah, that's what food energy is.
And back then, kiddies, the government did something about that.
Yeah,
they brought them in and made them issue what's essentially a retraction commercial. Yeah. They had a commercial saying, our previous commercials talked about food energy. Well, food energy really just means calories.
Yeah,
it was like a kid who got caught and had to apologize to the class. But that would never happen today.
Nope.
So.
And even if it did, there'd be 50 million voices online.
Oh, sugar's good for you. Yeah.
Exactly
yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah. You should eat sugar and cayenne pepper. That'll help you. So
yeah, exactly.
That's Aaron Rodgers' latest thing. He drinks water with cayenne pepper in it.
He should be the new Secretary of Health and Human Services.
He says it's like the fountain of youth.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I can tell from looking at him.
Yeah. Oh, we got to get out of here. We got about 10 seconds left here.
Yeah.
So time to declare. The weekend. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah.
Happy All Saints Day, by the way.
So, and All Souls Day is
that's
tomorrow.
We got it all covered. The Saints and the souls.
Is anybody left? No,
Saints and the sinners. Sunday is sinners.
When's
Day.
All Demon Day? Oh, we had that.
already. All right, Pants, great to see you.
You too, buddy.
It's 2:00. You're listening to WRT 89.9 FM Madison. Stick around. The Kiosk is next. After that, Who Cooks For You with the Real Jaguar. Amy Goodman, Democracy Now!, Labor Radio, Blues Cruise, Friday on My Mind, all kinds of great stuff here on your favorite radio station. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
This is the Insurgent Radio Kiosk for Friday, November 1st.
Here's a progressive idea I picked up from the unlikeliest of sources, corporate CEOs. For decades, these chieftains of our economic order have been steadily implementing a very visionary process for establishing corporate wage levels. The essence of it is this: let workers set their own pay. Since the 1970s, when the idea began taking hold in corporate America, pay levels have zoomed up by more than 1,000%. Well, not for you. This set-your-own-pay movement has only been available to top corporate executives, whose median paychecks now top $16 million a year. But since it's been such a boon for this test group, I say it's time to expand the no-hassle compensation concept to all employees. This would greatly boost grassroots purchasing power, economic growth, and fairness for all. Oh, my God, no, squawk corporate apologists, rushing to say,